listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, my friends. I just had a wonderful hour speaking to a veteran and another gentleman who had a problem with being jealous. And I think we resolved that. But the best part of the first hour is a half an hour, maybe 40 minutes, with a veteran that finally woke up and his whole life became beautiful. And the veterans with him said, "What came over you?" Well, he just said, "I just got this little device and I've been listening to it. It's called, isn't it funny, I forgot the name of my own. I have some injections here, so it's going to affect me just a little bit. But I still forgot the word I wanted to say. But I learned something. Something that undid all my wicked ways of life. That's not the way he said it. But then he began to see how simple it was, and his friends could see. All his friends are, most of his friends are veterans. And they said, "What happened to you? You're different." And so I taught him how to pass this on. I can't get to the veterans yet. I have to wait till a different person comes up to be a president, because this president is in my way. He hasn't changed the conditions for the veterans, and they're dying 22 a day, and they don't have to die. Because I know how to save those 22. But I need the means. And the means can be from a lot of money being given to me to do it, and me pushing my way into there and bringing those CDs they need, and iPhones and whatever it is, the little devices I have to put in the earphones so they can hear a 7-minute meditation. That's all. And every one of them, with the exception of a few, will stop killing themselves. I know that, and the military knows that. And you can find that on the all about the military if you just look up on the web. Please, I know how to cure, literally cure, post-traumatic stress disorder and a whole slew of problems that rise to that dangerous stage, which is the family, is also destroyed. Please, bear with me. I have another nice call here. And if you would like to call, this program has been very good. It's beautiful when people call, especially the military, especially the person who is, you know, went off through that problem, veterans. The veterans all have that problem. They're always struggling with it, and I have the cure. And all it is in 7 minutes, and you can go on the radio, you can go on the internet, and it's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's on my website, and where it isn't on my website, where there's nothing else, nothing to sell, nothing to buy. This is the one you really need to give to your friends, because the preachers have done a lousy job of driving Christians away from Christ. They've done a terrible job of forcing babbling them the things they don't really understand, having saying it with great, great confidence. And that is hypnotic to people. And they think they're being saved when they're not. They're being caught up with the preacher. And you, hundreds of thousands will be talked to these people. You hear them speaking with all this cleverness, all these stories, fascinations. It's a hypnotic state. They're worse off. So please help me. Because there's so much disgusting lies and misrepresentations. Even in the Christian religion, there's thousands of people driving Christians into thinking they're Christians, verses and chapters, and giving them a little nod on the back saying, good boy, you've got all the scriptures, you've learned it all. But that doesn't cure anything. It's the understanding of it. Jesus says, okay.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, welcome again. We've got a very interesting caller. By Jove, I've never had a question quite like this before. And I'm offering you the phone number for you to write down. Post office box. No, that's somebody spits in money. Sorry. 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Call me from 6 to 8. That's the time I'm live. There's 3 hours, then they put a best of. Or they take the first hour and put it on the behind the second hour. So you can actually hear my program. If you can't find it on your radio, you need to go to FHU.com. FHU.com. And it's listen to Roy live. You can speak to me. Or listen to Roy archive. So you can listen anytime you want. So please call. This is a calling program tonight. This is a beautiful program up to now. But this question is fascinating. Kenny in Kentucky. Hello.
I'm here. Hello, Roy. First of all, I want you to know that I love your eternal awareness and guidance. I thank you so much. I happened to be reading Solomon's Proverbs, and I don't know if it was an aha moment or if it was, you know, just something I just thought, well, he talks about how important wisdom is in loving wisdom, and he refers to wisdom as a she, a female, you know.
Is this at one place, just one place, or many?
I think that all of the reference were to she, is, if I recollect correctly, wisdom as she, Genesis, and God said, let us make man in our image, and he made man male and female. And so I was wondering, as if some Gnostic writings suggest, that part of the Trinity is the pistosophia, which is faith, wisdom, I think from the Latin, is part of the Trinity female, because the first man was in their image, man was male and female, one being. Can you explain this mystery to me?
I'm not sure. I have never thought of it. It is good to think about that. But the first thing that strikes me, if you don't mind me being off the cuff.
The that's when you're at your best.
Well, it could be a mistake.
Oh, well, that's okay. We'll discern then in that and meditate on it.
I'll tell you where there's many mistakes. I can tell you one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What do you see wrong with that?
Well, if God is good, does he
lead you into temptation?
No, he leads us
away from.
That's a misinterpretation. He leads us away from temptation.
But it doesn't say that. What it says,
does, I think in the
let me finish with this, because we can have a nice conversation. But
yes,
first,
sir.
The first thing it says, translations can also be, it's very hard to translate the language of Jesus. There are certain beautiful ways of. I have a book you need to get. Oh, this is what it's the Kabbalist manuscript.
I
don't have one in front of me, but I
have it.
Yeah, do you have one?
I certainly do, sir.
It's a very good book.
It is
from the Aramaic.
It is enlightening, and
it's very enlightening.
I think that in the Aramaic, which is an offstretch or a part of the Hebrew, and the Aramaic, I think it was the Kabbalist manuscript was translated from the Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke.
Let me stop you there. Did you know the Aramaic, what are the people who speak Aramaic? I can't remember. I'm taking medicine, so I'm not clear in my head.
Oh, so sorry.
It's all right. Because I have a problem. But Aramaic has language in it that is so profound. And one of the things, one of the profundities is that they discovered the subconscious mind long before anybody else. It was there. And if you read the book, you'll see it speaks of this unconscious mind and how to deal with it. It's all there. In Aramaic. This is translated from Aramaic. The Kabbalist manuscript. It's hidden right now in the treasuries of the Federal Treasury somewhere. It's hidden. Eisenhower, it was a big event, but this person was able to get a little piece of it and translate it. It's so important. I wish everybody would buy one. They're only $10, and they've got a cover, a hard cover. They're beautiful. I got 10,000 of them. I never say I sold them. Nobody wanted them. I'm glad you got it. But translation is important. And so I want to come back to my translation in this Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. That is a scoundrel. That is a scandalous way of saying it, because God doesn't lead you into temptation. It should have said, lead us away from temptation. Correct?
Yes, because God is good can't come from evil, and evil can't come from good, or something like that. You know, so how can someone who is
Translation, it got to through to if the translation is from Israel, if it was from them, Jesus spoke the other language, and so it got transmitted into Hebrew, and then translated into English, and the translations can deceive you, and deceive you it is, because it should be that the preachers today should recognize, oh, this is a mistake. God doesn't lead me into temptation, he delivers me from it. Lead me not.
I agree with you, and there's so many words in the Aramaic that You know, it talks that, you know, in the beginning there was forced will. You know, the word forced will, you know, and it just boom willed and things happened. And that talks about Ruka Dukashan or something like that. Different.
Well, will is different, the word will is a very powerful word. It's the beginning of something, as far as we're concerned. If you have a person with the will, he's dangerous. But there's two kinds of will. Let's talk about this a bit. Do you have a will? Do you have a will? Just be simple. Just make it simple. Yes or no?
I think that that's confusing to me.
No, it's difficult. It's disturbing you. Let me say what it is.
I'm beginning to learn that what I think is my will is not my will.
Say that again. Say that again.
I'm beginning to become aware of what I think is my will. Here you go.
That's it.
You know, that's what you get for thinking. And, you know, I know.
No, you actually
that it's
thought
not my
right.
Will.
Now, listen, my friend. Listen, this is a conversation. I ask you a question. Do you have a will? And you spluttered. And then you finally said, yes, I do. And now you ask me that question. Ask me, do I have a will? Go ahead.
Roy, do you have a will?
No, a will has me. Now, it's not my will that speaks. It's his will I'm expressing.
I know that. That's not something that I'm questioning. I know that. No.
Yeah, but it is typical of the way we understand will. In other words, there's another one too I can think of. Is something to do with love. Oh, yes. Yes. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Now, is that correct? Do you think you should love your enemy, yes or no?
Yes, and there's the right way to do that, I believe.
But the average person, just talk about the average person when we get back to you. They appease their idea of love, because there's two kinds of love, good love and evil love. And so when we come to the Bible, it says, love your enemy. Doesn't it?
Yes. Does that mean you don't have to like everything about that, but we're really all one, and you just don't.
You're going the wrong way. We're talking about you don't love your enemy. If you love your enemy, you embolden him. You're actually giving in. So when a person is frightened by a person bigger than themselves, he will begin to love that person, because if he doesn't, he gets hurt. And so that kind of love is emboldening the beast. And so, the many religions teach, love your enemy. That's what it is. Now you ask me, I'll speak how the people who spoke Aramaic, they are extinct now. Basically, no, too many left. They were murdered, mass murdered. Many people years ago. But ask me how I think of love. It's like this.
How do you, that's good because that works better. How do you think one should love their enemies?
Right, here it is. Ready?
I'm ready.
Love-don't hate your enemy. Now, I'm free.
Yeah.
Love means no hate. No resentment.
I think I said that.
No, you didn't quite.
Yeah. You didn't quite. I thought love your enemy means not hating them.
Yes, that's right. But the point is, but how do you not hate? Well, who?
How do you suffer?
What is in it that takes away the hate? Because nearly everybody is upset about something. You don't have to have an enemy. You can just hate your hammer from hitting your finger, the wrong finger.
You get, anytime you get upset at the smallest thing, you know, it's that.
No, but see, what it is the ability to not hate. Take away hate. So you do not know how to hate. I do not know how to hate. I recognize it when I see it. I do not know what it feels like anymore. I don't know what it feels like. So you can do the worst in you. I'll tell you a little story of not hate and how he survived. It's a true story. I've told it before, but it has the not hate in it. In Warsaw, the Germans invaded and went into a Jewish man's house and shot dead his four daughters in front of his face. And something rose up inside him, terrible rage. But at the same time, oh no, we won't leave that. Now we'll leave that alone. Now he's in a concentration camp and the American army comes in. And they see dead bodies all over the place. And they see him walking around. He seems to be perfectly normal. And they say, how long have you been here? He says, I've been here 5 years. How come you don't look like these people? Dying. Dead. How long? And you look perfectly normal. He says, I don't know. All I know is the Germans came to kill and killed my four daughters in front of my face. And something said to me, if you do that, you will become one of them.
You become what you hate.
And lots of Jewish people came home as villains, angry with the family. Furistic, so to speak.
I think that you've said before that is quite a factual account. I think you said before, you become what you hate.
That's correct. Always. And it only takes one time, and then it continues and never stops until you're miserable, sick, with every kind of mental illness and suffering you can imagine.
I know that through what I've experienced, you become what you hate. I was gonna something escaped me here. It was profound. Perhaps it'll come back. I've kind of learned that because here it is, bingo. If you get angry, if you get upset, if you are jealous, you are judging. And that puts you
correct.
In direct conflict.
And you're playing
with
the
God
will of God,
because
aren't you?
That's God's job to judge, not my job to judge.
And forgiveness, too.
And to forgive.
Yes,
will
you can't
forgive.
Forgive
by not judging?
Well, I'll tell you another story. Ready?
Am I on the track?
Yes, you're on track, but here is the story. I give seminars at the Tall Timber Ranch. I used to. I'm not doing that anymore.
Too bad.
But the point is, I don't give lectures. I still can come out lectures, but I'm afraid to have 500 people get murdered.
Oh, man.
So I can't do that anymore. But not for them, not for me. I'm not afraid of dying. I don't want to
say I know you're not. I mean, if awareness is... If awareness wasn't born, how can it die? Awareness has been from
the
beginning.
That's correct. It's metaphysical. And if you are able to reconnect, it's called redemption. To reconnection, to reconnect is called redemption. If you can be redeemed by the other side of the force, in other words, there is materiality, you are a material being, corporeal being.
Yeah, this is the body we associate so much with, being with the body. When we
it has a life like an animal.
With the eternal awareness, yes?
Yes, but it's made of animal stuff, isn't it? It has intestines. It has teeth to eat. It is actually a corporeal being in the world. But within the corporeal being, as when you were born, you had something of a different dimension. And I wish I could remember the word I used last night. But here's the word, metaphysical. That's pre-physical. What is beyond physical could be a void, but it could also be something that is not the void. The void is left alone by itself. It could be something called like magic, like a magical quality, like a magical something designed for you to either love it or not love it. And so when you're born into the world is born into you. I keep saying that. So they're born into culture, and whatever culture there is, it will come into you. And to put it simply, I've said it before, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. You cannot take what got into you when you got into the culture. In America, the culture is wonderful. It used to be wonderful. It's terrible now. This is not the country I came to 65, 67 years ago. It's a different country. This is not America anymore. There are still Americans, don't get me wrong, but they're on the retreat. They don't know what's happening. But see that. But when you come into this world, there's all kinds of craziness, even in the best of times. It comes through the family. It comes through the failure of men to say no to women. So man born of woman is missing something, but only because he's born to a woman does the woman, as she nurtures him, pass through, as he is born, what comes through as well is Eve. The spirit of Eve comes with it. Into.
When he's born, the spirit of Eve, okay. The spirit.
And therefore the women have the power over the child for the first 6, 9, 10, 20 months, 2 years. And the husband, rightly so, lets her do what she does. But as the child gets older, he needs to say to the woman, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. See, whatever she's doing, you're doting him too much. No, don't get angry with him. I see you getting angry. If you got anger, you better talk to me and have a fight with me if you want to, but you don't do that to the kid. And you don't spoil that kid. I'm going to give you money, but you're not going to... If you're going to spoil him, I'm not going to give you enough money. What do you mean by that? I can do what I want. No, you can't. I'm your husband. And through me comes him. And it should be that way, but it isn't, because man and born of woman is ruined by the woman for the day he is born. Yes, and we'll continue the thought. 800-866-8883. David, could you put the commercials on, please? Can you? All right. Would you say something nice? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I wanted to keep the subject going. I know we started on a different note, and we would come to where we are men born of women. But I think it is very important, since we came around it. Ask Kenny if it's all right if we can continue discussing it. And if I miss it because I have to say some things about business, let him remind me of what we were talking about. Would you do that for me? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying what we're saying and giving it some thought. Please don't try to remember it. All I wanted to do is, as you listen objectively. I don't want to be the preacher that says, remember what I said. Read this, read that. Learn this by heart. No, that is dangerous. The words are supposed to awaken what they mean. Jesus says to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he criticized them for their memories. All knowledge and no common sense. That's the knowledge of good, is that. All knowledge is devoid of common sense, which is the spirit which children are born. And therefore we honor the person who knows about physics, who knows about this, and he knows about that. But he's only learned it, and it may be right, it may be wrong, but it's a learning, not an understanding. I like to understand what I learn, not just speak of it as if I understood it. I want to understand it because it has an understanding quality. Somebody gave the understanding a name. Yes, they gave it a name, a scientific name, a religious name, a book, read, memorize. You're driving out common sense. Slowly does it. But if you go to school and expect a degree these days, you have to learn it word for word, mechanically. The knowledge. Now, I can write thesis without knowing what the words are for it. I get the words later on in the editing. This is how they say it in science. Oh, but I know it already. But if I knew it in science, like a machine, I would only have a word. I know this particle does this, but why does it do it? Nobody knows. Nobody knows why anything is. I know how it all works. I know it from the beginning. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. In the beginning there was the void and darkness on the face of the deep. I gave it yesterday. I gave it. I gave you a clue. I'm not going to do it now.
To Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I don't know how he got to this subject, but are you there, Kenny?
Yes, I am, Roy.
I think I was talking about man born of woman. And people would say, what do you mean? How else can a man come into the world? Well, it's a really interesting question, but why does the Bible say it that way? They were saying something different. It means Adam lost out to Eve. Adam lost out. She had her way with him. And he fell. He became subject of the woman. His sense of worth is her love. and it's sexual, and you could see. And we need to talk about that. I don't want to listen. But what I meant to talk about is today, but maybe tomorrow. But every woman that gives a birth to a child brings with it, first of all, she brings the child into the culture. Into the culture of the family. And the families today are awful. They don't know it. They don't understand how to deal with their children. They send them to the rotten schools, etc., etc. They talk to them in a wrong way. They spoil them. They yell at them. And they traumatize them. And that's just the beginning. They haven't seen the world yet, but they've been corrupted, so they cannot. Because the world will do the same thing to them as the family did, because they set the program up and separated him from the intuitive self. Jesus himself says, you see but you don't perceive, and you hear but you don't understand. They got words. They understand nothing. You can put words to things. I put words to things, but I make it clear that there's another deep, deep something inside that gives it to me to say it to you and have a certain kind of voice that represents authority. So a husband then, so therefore man born of woman, we're talking about particularly man born of woman, the moment he comes into the world, he comes into the world with by a mother who loves the child, but it doesn't matter. When she suckles the child, when she feeds the child, she is passing Eve into the female and into the male. See, and so she will treat the male unconsciously. Her aura, her presence, she doesn't see it. It's not her fault. It's been going on for generations and generations from a paradise lost. But she has in her something that is very dangerous. She's got two powers. The power of reproduction, which is pleasure. And then the power is very strong that draws the man to the woman. And very powerful, almost hypnotic. Exactly hypnotic. I mean, this is, we have problems, but the reason why we're drawn back to him, because we are drawn back to unfinished business of Eve. There's Eve in every woman, and every woman that's decent is understanding what I'm saying right now. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you this except in very vague ways, but it's there. Man born a woman, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and be joined to the woman as one flesh. That's backwards, but that's what it is. And so therefore, each person born, every man, let's talk about the men, are born of woman, have an Eve inside of him. And that draws him back for the Eve to love him. The woman, we don't talk about Eve, but she tends to be more beautiful and lovable, and she tends to nurture what is in the man that she took away. I don't know how to say this, but when you give born into the world, you've got two problems. The world will get the children sooner or later. But the mother will set the male child up to look for approval from Eve. And the spirit behind that has been traveling through all the generations. And so men do not know what love is. The only thing they know about love is the feeling he gets from it. That's all he knows.
Wow! It's that Eve, a presence passed down generation after generation, that is in the man that makes him want to be nurtured and to be built up.
Yes.
And all that. Make
yes.
the woman make him feel good and all this when you should
yes,
be
make
when
him
you
feel
should
good.
Actually be getting it from a divine source of
yes.
Awareness or wisdom or something.
But it does come. You see, lots of men, we all suffer from our relationship because something's missing. The spirit of the man is lost. He's looking for love in all the wrong places. If one woman
yes.
doesn't give it to him, he looks for another one. If the mother, if the woman loves him, she loves him in a way of enabling him. He becomes dependent on the enabling for the feeling he feels, because the feeling he gets from a woman is almost like a reinforcement of a God, making you feel better and better and better. So you'll die for a woman who does that for you. At the
if
same
people
time,
or women or anything can build you up, it's obvious they have the power.
It'd
to
be
carry
the same
down.
Thing. It could be. It doesn't have to be a woman. After a while, it could be a dog.
Isn't that funny?
You could be anything. You could
transfer
it to anything.
I see people and their pets. You know, they're have fun with the puppy, but you know, hey, put it outside. It belongs outside. It's here for a watchdog. You know.
That's right.
It's
but
so
you see,
funny what people can become attached to, and how we are all deceived, and through government politics choosing. I mean, what I wanted to know was how can one not? How can one be for or against nothing? How can one not decide? How can one not
Well, you
choose?
Have to wake up from suffering. Suffering will make you wake up. Suffering in marriage. Marriage is a very dangerous thing. And it's a beautiful thing if it's done right, but it's up to a man. It's up to the man to see that things are going wrong. He's loving her too much. The children are saying, why does my father love my mother more than me? And the children will begin to hate you. They don't fully understand it in the beginning. But you put it in their mind. A man needs to be... Every man that has a problem with his wife, family... And families is this is destroyed. Or everywhere you look, families are destroyed. Everywhere, every country, wherever you want to go, every now and then. I think Donald Trump got rid of his first two ones, but he seems to have brought up a beautiful family. It's an interesting thing. There's a Bible that says, if I can remember it, wanton, willful wantonness. The Aramaic says it that way. It doesn't say about adultery. It says willful wantonness. That's a woman. I've got a woman like that. Willful wantonness. I've decided to stay with her because I think she's a sweet lady inside. Willful wantonness. A man can divorce his wife, and the Aramaic is correct. But you see, now you've got adultery. You don't need to have adultery. Willful wantonness. My wife has it. I am ready to stay with it until she sees it. That's my test.
I understand how that could
I'm a stronger man.
Yeah. Did you know that she would be the... I think I read in the preface...
No, you were asking a simple question. I knew for 2 weeks.
I heard you had a whirlwind romance. Like a
no,
week
it
later,
wasn't much
her.
Of a romance. We just
or
went
not,
and
I mean,
we did some shooting together. We had dinner together. We met some people together for 2 weeks. And I woke up. After I left a couple of weeks. And something said, you got to go home and marry this woman. And so I did. And I was driving the car away. She accepted And she didn't have a great family. Sort of, I would like to tell you, it's not a good family. But something in me, I said to myself while I'm driving away, why am I doing this? He's going to give me, it was God's will to give me a very difficult situation, which has become. But yes, I'm going to fix it. I see, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to put up with it. I'm not going to get angry with it. I'm get stronger. I've got a will. But no, in a sense, a will has me. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to be married to know what it's like to be married, and to be married in a very difficult situation, which is created. And I'm now beginning to fix everyone. Bit of it. I'll wait till the day I die. I will do it.
Your wisdom keeps it growing through the way that you're handling the...
Correct.
The way that you're handling everything without judgment or anger. It's like if you correct a child, you know, don't go out in the street, you know, but if you correct them or give them a little whipping on the butt real quick, and if you do it with anger, you're defeating the purpose. You haven't corrected them at all. You've just
put this is how
anger.
You would say it. This is how you would say it. You'd have to have the voice of, in order for any bad thing to stop, you have to have the sound of God in you. The children recognize it. They're young enough to recognize it. They're not broken enough. And they could. So if you meditated with a 7-minute meditation, for example, and you got back what you lost as a child, and then you would say that what you said just now, hey, Johnny, yes, Dad, please don't, please be careful, you see. But if you have the voice that represents God, he will listen to you. If you have a voice which is corporeal, meaning an ordinary person, a mortal person, the roughness
yes.
of a mortal person who's pissed off about things, he will do just the opposite, or he will become an appeaser. Yes, Dad, I'll do anything you say, Dad, and that goes to everybody else here. Oh, here we are. Are we having fun?
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Can we come back to Solomon?
If I'm not too far off in saying just one quick thing, and we'll
All
go
right.
back to Solomon.
All right.
Just real quickly, Roy, when I was a child, and this is strange because I've heard you speak of these things before, and even growing up, there were moments of distance and moments of, you know, even in the classroom, you know, just an awareness of a distance, you know, aware but apart. And I remember you saying once when you first saw a pregnant woman. The same thing happened to me as you, and I went, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I was a child, and I looked and I saw a relative who was really pregnant, and I just thought to myself, kind of, "Well, isn't that odd?"
A lot of people, it's embarrassing.
I mean, I was just a kid. And I thought, "What is that's odd." You know?
No. Listen. I can't find a proper word for it. But your sexual apparatus is embarrassing. That's why you cover it. It's the same with a woman, but she does it to entice. See the embarrassment? You have to turn the light out to do the thing. There's something about a child coming, being born. Something about it. How does the first human being begin in a little tiny a little tiny thing. A little tiny egg. No, the egg, that's the woman, isn't it? Then you got the sperm. It fishes. All these things are invisible. They don't have a consciousness. They have no consciousness as we have. But we grow up to be a whole man. It never fails. And then this whole man has something else other than the other animals. Him that created everything and him that created him in his image. And this... you see, on corporeal, we are just an animal, but with a conscience, with something other than just a mechanical brain of a monkey.
A dualistic.
Same makeup as the monkey. Same makeup, but mechanically. Physically, it's the same. All the principles are the same.
Insight, intuition, not
intuition. Intuition is intuition. The ability to be to learn from within, to be motivated from within, not motivated by the world.
And temptation, I understand that.
The temptation takes your. Pressures and temptation take you away, but you're set up for it because of Paradise Lost. It travels through.
Yes.
So there's one thing I want to say to the women. I want to say to the women, how many of you now listening to me would like a man with the spirit of authority of a Jesus? You'd love him. You'd want to serve him as he, because he is beloved, is serving his creator. So therefore, now, to turn everything upside down, American fascists, the evil Americans, the Marxists especially, they have infected the country and they sit on the door of the women and give them power and give them freedom to be whores, and the men love it and it becomes addictive to both of them, but eventually the women get the worst of it to begin with. They begin to hate their husbands, they begin to hate their boyfriends, because they see that all that they want is reassurance that their corporeal nature is the one and only everlasting being. Yes, it's everlasting in the dark side of the force. There are two sides of a man. One is the one that's good and flows through you and speaks through you as if it was your thoughts. As before, I know these are not my thoughts. But I know that, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy with what he gives me. Doesn't always work right because my machinery doesn't work right. I'm taking, injections right now, so it's not easy for me. And so, but still, it's coming through me to say it. And at the same time, other people have another metaphysical side opposite where the darkness was that talked to Eve and brought him away from God. And therefore, the whole human race, every one of us, every language, every country in the world, is exactly the same thing, but the women are suffering terribly. And the men are suffering terribly. All they've got is the pleasure they give each other, and that doesn't help a bit. Men need to start to leave, not to depend on the pleasure of the flesh. Because once you start to do that, you are giving yourself to the woman and she's taking you down. with herself. She becomes more powerful as, and you become weak and weaker and weaker, and then she hates you for being weak because a weak man can't save her from Satan. That is in her. It's not a, it's just a proclivity. It's like a disease, pandemic. It's in the women. And all the women want is the love of God in the man, not the love for her, as if she was God and is able to rise to the occasion of his needs. I have the, my needs are fulfilled from within, not from my wife. My wife can get, if my wife would understand the awe that I have, the good that I have, then she would love that in me. And of course, I would be loved as well. I will be served, but I will also serve her by being around and protecting her and bringing home the money and the bacon. See, it works that way. But you see, the powers that be understand this, they sit on the doorstep of the woman. And you women need to understand what I'm trying to tell you. Men are broken. They're bullies and cowards. That's all they are. Never mind what face they show. But I can read most people. And I'm sure my friend Dave Kenny, you can understand that point of view. Men need to be head of the household, but only not because he's a man, because he's a redeemed man. And that's why I'm asking the American men to understand that. And if you, and the American women can also overcome what's been done to her by listening to that 7-minute meditation. I've made it free. I wanted to, we can stop a civil war if we can understand and to bring and bring ourselves back to the values that our founding fathers loved. And died to share it with us, paid it for with our lives. No greater love has any man than he would lay down his life for his friends. That's George Washington and his army. We want to know where they are now. You look at the malls, all you do is sit fat, wasted people. And tomorrow we'll talk about that, because we just got the second hour. My dear friend, thank you very much for the delightful conversation. And may I say this, we go right back to the first part you said. It could be a mistake in translation. But it also could be that because he had 999 wives, that he did admire the pleasures of life more so than anybody else, for which reason he almost died. And the last one got him. So, ladies and gentlemen, I do hope you love the discussions. See, these people calling are just like people on the radio when they have under things to say. They're powerful people, knowledgeable people. These people are looking for answers. And this is the program for that. Everybody can call me. Please support my program to keep it alive. I want to spread this kind of program. But most important, I need the money to do this, but the 7-minute meditation is free. And share it. Ask them, do you have stress? Try this. And you go to antidoteforall.com.